Good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Tuesday, class 6, May 2025. So we are going to continue our class sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are following Master Shenhua's commentaries. We are at volume 4, chapter 3, of Parables. Okay, as usual, let us gather and we shall have our physical puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the sadha virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo bin si si jia mo ni fo. Namo bin si si jia mo ni fo. Namo bin si si jia mo ni fo. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Pusyan Pusa. Namo Pusyan Pusa. Namo Pusyan Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Dizang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. We shall continue from Padipa Puja onwards. Ganna sarappa dithena dipena tamadangsina diloka dipang sambuddhang puja. pujayami tamonutang ganda sambara yutena dupena sugahina pujayae pujaniyang tang puja bajana mutamang vanna ganda gunupetang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri paja sarorohe pujemi bhutang kusumena nena punnena matena cha hotu mukhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bhavang adivase tu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tu no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we shall chant our puja aspirations based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fortunes soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila Samadhi Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Gem. Putang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Always remember, relax body and mind. Yeah? If you are used to the mind supreme method, you can also use it. The main purpose and intent is to decondition your heedless thinking. You just feel, starting from the forehead, and relax. Then you sweep it down to your eye muscle. Do the same, feel, relax. Feel your eye muscle, ciliary muscle, soothingly relax. Like your forehead, feel if there's any tension, tightness or stress within, relax into it. Feel it soothingly relax. Then facial muscle is the same. So this one is a very good skillful means. Then you visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. You can smile means you have joy in your heart. Then naturally, your facial muscle, bodily muscle will be in a state of relax. Then you combine with loving kindness, metta. First you radiate to yourself, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. When you say the word well and happy, feel your body and mind completely relaxed and having the well-being and happiness. You can radiate this way, you feel very good. Then may it do be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your heart. Then you can radiate to your loved ones, to all beings within your vicinity. Then after that, when you settle down, you go back to your facial muscle, feel relaxed. Then sweep it down further, neck, do the same. Shoulder, do the same, feel relaxed. Hand, do the same, feel relaxed. Then back to shoulder. Then sweep it down to your heart, stay there, feel, until the buttock. Then reverse it. Most of the time, if you have developed it well, you feel very much more peaceful and calm after the first cycle of mind supreme method. Then your mind like very easy to be in a state of relax, inner peace, inner calmness. Then you can relax and meditate. When you meditate, you can just silence everything. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just let the body and mind be. Then within that silence, maintain the awareness. Whatever arises, aware, finish. No need to follow. And stabilize the inner awareness. When you can just do that, the relaxation and ability to maintain awareness will make you very calm, very peaceful. Your mind will become very tranquil and still. That is the way to develop it. Initially, you can also feel that your mind is like very, very much more quiet, no more thinking like before. Even if it's still a little bit of movement or what, you just relax into it and maintain awareness. Then it will like slow down, slow down, slow down until finally completely still. For those who are already more skillful, you can use the four support direct. Just silent, no need to know, no need to do, relax, maintain the silent mind, and maintain awareness within. Relaxation is very important. You can go deep into it. When you can relax, your silent mind become more and more pronounced, more and more clear to you. then you just stay there, maintain awareness. Whatever arises within your six senses, just stay aware, finish. Or aware, silent, aware, silent. Then let the mind settle down until it becomes very quiet, until your body and mind completely relax and at ease without thought. Then when it stabilizes, you will know what is happening. Your mind become like completely different, like there is a shift in consciousness where the noisy thought process like no more, like you can perceive a type of calmness, tranquility and stillness. When you experience that, is a good sign. That is your true mind, your meditative mind, your silent mind. So use that to develop the meditative wisdom. Then you will be able to understand many things. How you function as a human being. Who are you? What are you? So all this will manifest. So the complete silence is the meditative state. With that, whatever arises, you will understand. And how it stirs your mundane thinking mind to react, to develop all the emotion, including fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, all the excitement. So all this, as they arise and pass away, you just have to silently observe. Through silent inner awareness to observe, you will understand. You will understand the teaching. You will understand the essential Dhamma. You will understand what the Buddha meant by Paticca Samuppada, the law of dependent origination, or they call it the dwelling. And through this, you develop a lot of understanding and wisdom. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own, and I will set the alarm for 30 minutes. Okay, yeah, we can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, before we proceed with the invocation to the Devas, today I think how you all feel the meditation? Can you all feel the very still nature or not? You can settle down very fast. Very good, sadhu. Because you just came back from the retreat. There is one thing that yogi or kayamitas who went and come back, the older one will know, even spiritual trip also same. When you are there, you actually, without you knowing, if you have the faith, sadha, virya, and you really develop the mindfulness, you will draw the great being's energy and my nature's energy. Then you come back like you're very tired. At night when you rest, you really rest. Then it stabilizes your internal. Then after a few days, you are like charged. That's why today online also, I think there are 7 to 8 of them just now. You have Cindy, Nancy, Chui, earlier Ingbi was there also, Po Cheng, Tang Gong Chai, then Brother Wong, Hong Chaman. You will have that stability. So you continue with your daily mindfulness. You will progress very fast. Okay? So rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Also another good news. Today is Freddy's birthday. Sadhu. He came with Alicia all the way to invite me and my wife and my daughter and Ben for dinner, take us for dinner. That's why it's meant to be. Then also, today I think we will have a good session. Yun-chan also here. She is getting some books for Sister Emily. Okay, so now turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalisu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadang. Dhammasvanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhammasvanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhammasvanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho vijja charana panno sukato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Suvakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho yadidam chattari purisa yukkani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sakkasangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkhineyo Anjali karaniyo anutarang punyang keta lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we will continue from where we stop. Okay, the sutta say. Engulfed in this morass, however, living beings enjoy their pleasure unaware, unknowing, unalarmed, and unafraid. They do not grow dissatisfied, nor do they seek liberation. They run about in the burning house of the three realms, and although they encounter tremendous sufferings, they are not concerned. So this one is very true, especially within our sensual realm, the human realm, and also within the demon realms, the animal realms, the beta realm, of course the hell realm, they suffer. But the human realm, especially so the animal realms too, because they do not understand the first and second noble truth, they are caught within the first noble truth reality, the eighth reality that manifests and condition living being into suffering. They don't understand. They cannot see. They suffer without knowing that that is suffering through their own security, self-delusion. They condition them to grasp, to cling, to hold, and to react emotionally, manifesting the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion via their views, opinion, condition, and belief system, and also their fear, their phobia, their insecurity, their lack of understanding of the Dhamma. Without right view, they entangle themselves. That's why they are prone to suffering. And yet they thought life is still going on as usual. That's why some beings before suffering or dukkha hit them, they still enjoy their pleasure, unaware, unknowing, unalarmed, and unafraid. Because without the Dhamma, you cannot free your mind, you cannot understand life, and you will sooner or later entangle yourself, afflicted by suffering. And because of that, living being really been deluded and heedless. They suffer without knowing why they suffer. Sometimes they still blame others, point their fingers at others. Then like the sutta say, they run about in the burning house of the three realms. And although they encounter tremendous suffering, mental suffering, physical suffering, but they are not concerned as if that is life. They couldn't understand. So commentaries, we go in. The first sentence, engulfed in this morass, however, living beings enjoy their pleasure unaware, unknowing, unalarmed, and unafraid. So the commentary explains, although living beings are immersed in stress and perception, they don't feel that they are suffering. They are happy and enjoy themselves, thinking it's great fun. Like the 33 children in the burning house, who is oblivious and unaware. Living beings are afraid, unafraid of dying. They aren't scared in the least. They do not grow dissatisfied. Nor do they seek liberation. So seeking liberation here means seek enlightenment. Because they do not recognize the affliction inherent in suffering as well as in the aggregation of suffering. They do not grow weary or dissatisfied. But they do not seek the path. They want neither to realize the cessation of suffering nor to seek liberation. Then the next part of the sutta says, they run about in the burning house of the three realms, and although they encounter tremendous suffering, they are not concerned. Means They run in all directions throughout the burning house of the tree rhyme. Even though everything they encounter in this world is full of afflictions, they do not think that it is something to worry about. Rather, they enjoy their life and ironically persist suffering as bliss. So a living being who don't have the Dhamma, they really cannot understand. That's why sometimes for those who have the Dhamma, they know how pitiful these Puttujanas or normal living beings are. Yeah. But they also know that's the way they are. Whatever causes and condition behind is due to their own doing. They are born of their karma, heir to their karma, condition supported by their karma. And they are what they are because of their karma. That's why for us, cultivate the other way, we will see it very clearly. Then we will strive on with heedfulness to realize the wisdom, the understanding, and the awakening, so that we understand life and we can live life, so that we do not waste our precious human life. Okay, next part of the sutta. Sariputta, having seen this, the Buddha then think, I am like the father of living beings. I should rescue them from trouble and suffering and give them the limitless, boundless joy of a Buddha's wisdom so that they may find pleasure in it. Sakyamuni Buddha then continued, Sariputta, having seen this, the Buddha then think I'm like the father of living beings. I should rescue them from trouble and suffering and give them the limitless, boundless joy of a Buddha's wisdom so that they may find pleasure in it. The commentary's explanation. The Buddha is the guiding master of the tree rhyme and the compassionate father of living beings. To save living beings from suffering is to show great compassion to them, to give them the limitless, boundless joy of the Buddha's wisdom is a great kindness. The Buddha leads all living beings to find pleasure and joy in the great vehicle or supreme vehicle, Buddha Dhamma, of great kindness and compassion, means love and compassion. Go up. There is suffering in poverty, but do wealthy people also experience suffering? Those who are wealthy have the suffering of happiness. They may ask, how can happiness be suffering? Or you may ask, how can happiness be suffering? When happiness reaches extreme, it becomes grief. It is said, when one lives in poverty, it's difficult to give. When one enjoys wealth and honor, it is difficult to cultivate the path. So that analogy is very good. Sometimes if you don't have that Dhamma, you're too wealthy, you have problem because your concern is to enjoy life and to maybe make use of your wealth for your own comfort, happiness, joy. Then you got no time for Dhamma, for cultivation. And despite your wealth, you cannot do much when you are confronted with the First Noble Truth reality. They can still make you miserable. Yeah. Then sometimes because of wealth, you suffer unnecessarily. You worry about your property, being like stolen or destroyed during economic crisis. Then sometimes because of your children's inheritance problem, your children are not what you think. It gives you more headache, more problem. That's why they say, got money also worry, got money also got problem, no money also got problem. So human being, like this famous saying, rain also complain, no rain also complain, because there is no understanding behind. The lack of understanding lead to lack of contentment. The lack of right view to accept the reality, to see things clearly. That's why, because of that, they attach, they cling, they suffer. Okay, I read on. While Sakyamuni Buddha rich in the world, he was extremely wealthy and noble. Despite his wealth, he was able to cultivate. When the Buddha was in the world, the following incident took place. The oil lamp before the Buddha had to be lit frequently because the lamp would be put out in the morning and lit at night. One day, a poor person made an offering to the Buddha of about 1 gallon of oil to fill the oil lamp. As usual, the person in charge of the lamps put them out during the day and lit them up in the evening. However, the lamps filled by the oil offered by that poor person could not be put out by anyone. All the bhikkhu tried to blow them out the way you blow out a candle, but they just couldn't do it. When they asked Venerable Mongalana about this, he said, "I don't believe it. Let me try." Not only could he not blow the lamp out, he could not extinguish it even with a wind conjured by his spiritual power or psychic ability. Finally, he round up the Varamba wind, the strongest wind in the world, which originated from Mount Sumeru. But that, even that, could not put out the lamp. Since even spiritual power did not work, the monk went to ask the Buddha, "Why are the lamp playing trick today? We cannot extinguish them, no matter what we do." The Buddha replied, "The person who came with the oil is an extremely poor beggar. He spent his entire life savings to buy this gallon of oil and offered it to the Buddha. Therefore, his sincerity will never go out, nor will this lamp. Afterwards, the lamp filled by this poor person's oil never went out." Just think, this poor person had practically nothing, yet he gave away all he had. Thus, he was able to make the lamp shine forever. They could not be put out even by spiritual powers. If you are poor, but can still give, then you have true merits and virtue. True giving is reflected in the attitude that says, "Although I am poor, I am willing to give what I can." Does it count as giving when a rich person gives? It is still giving. However, it is difficult for rich people to cultivate. You have very little, but you give. That's true giving. You have a lot, and you give. It's not that special. So this is Srinivas' explanation. But the analogy is good. When you are poor, it's very difficult for you to give. Most people find it difficult because the self-need prevails. But then, not everybody is like that. That's why there are people who has the Dhamma. Although poor, they have that mind. They have the understanding and the generosity, and they can still give. And when they give, it's very different. It's just like the wealthy people, normally they got no time for cultivation and all things. When you look at the Buddha, because of his past, he was able to still renounce the world. despite the good condition that he was born into, and all the luxurious accommodation, food and environment that he was given, because his father was the king. And yet he can just renounce the whole kingdom, shave, and go for be a samanera. Oh, sorry, a samana. So this is the aspect of cultivation that people who have the understanding and the parami can do. Yeah. So no matter how you are, you have your causes and conditions already set through your past cultivation and karmic inheritance. Whenever you arise, you will be beautiful, you will have the understanding. So all this can be done, even though very rare. Okay, we continue. The next section is correlating the analogy of the elder choosing the card over the table, correlating the casting aside of the table, correlating the analogy of casting aside the table, correlating the analogy of not using his strength, then correlating the use of the card. So here, the sutta says, Sariputta, the Tathagata again reflect, if I, for the sake of all living beings, merely use my spiritual power and wisdom power, but cast aside skillful means when praising the Tathagata's knowledge and vision, powers and fearlessness, living beings will not be saved. Why? These living beings have yet to transcend birth, old age, sickness and death, grief and misery. While being scorched in the burning house of the three realms, so how can they understand the wisdom of the Buddha or the Supreme Vehicle teaching? Okay, move on. So commentary say, the first part of the sutta means Sakyamuni Buddha thought that if he were to use his spiritual power and the power of wisdom, all the wisdom and the wisdom of all things in proper discernment and omniscient wisdom, but not employ skillful means when he praised the Buddha's knowledge, omniscient wisdom and vision, the Buddha's divine eye and the ten powers, and his four kind of fearlessness, he would not be able to save living beings by merely teaching them those Dhamma. He did not think that living beings would understand and be saved under such condition. Then the sutta say, why? Because these living beings have yet to transcend birth and death, overcome old age, sickness, disease, sorrow, lamentation, grief and misery, while being scorched in the burning house of the three realms. How can they understand the wisdom of the Buddha? So the commentary say, living beings are like children who have not understood the principles of life. Therefore, they are burned by the flame of the three realms, the realm of desire, the realm of form, and the realm of the formless. How can they even know about the Buddha's wisdom if they are not familiar with the Buddha Dhamma? But now you teach them the Buddha's wisdom. How could they understand it? For example, in the West, some people have never heard of the word Buddha. Thus, they may be worried to discover that all of you are studying the teachings of this unfamiliar Buddha Dhamma. Let's take the student who came today as an example. I asked her why she stayed away so long. She said that she had been afraid. When I asked her what she was afraid of. She could not tell me. I said, people are afraid of becoming enlightened, afraid of attaining Buddhahood, and afraid of gaining understanding, because once you understand, you cannot continue to do confused things. Even in our Buddha home, some lay people clearly know that something is wrong, but they insist on doing it anyway. They are quite clear that it is wrong to break the precept, but they continue to do so. They know that taking drugs is bad, but they do it anyway. If you make mistakes before learning the Buddha Dhamma, is forgivable. However, to continue to do this thing that you know are wrong after you have understood the Buddha Dhamma is to knowingly violate the rules, to knowingly violate the precepts, triples the offense. To give a secular example, you broke a law because you do not know of its existence, you might have been sentenced to 5 years in jail. But you get out of the jail and break the law again, you may get 20 years imprisonment for the second offense. Those of you who have made mistakes had better hurry up and change. Those of you who haven't should be even more vigorous in your cultivation. Don't knowingly violate the rules. You clearly know it is wrong, but still do it. That is a mistake on top of a mistake. Confusion on top of confusion. And it will result in suffering upon suffering. It is very dangerous. You will get very close to the three realms of the hell, animals and hungry ghosts, rebirth in the future. If people can sincerely repent and reform after making a mistake for the first time, then there is still hope. But if they continue to commit it for the second, third, fourth, and fifth, or sixth time, their coming offense increases every time. The more time you do it, the heavier your coming offense become. The heavier your coming offense, the lower you are bound to fall. You should quickly return from the road of confusion and get back to the right track. It is said, although the sea of suffering is boundless, with a turn of the head you reach the other shore. The sea of pain has no limit, but once you change, you instantly cross it. People who have made mistakes must change. Those who have not should work even harder to do better. Confucius said, if you have committed offenses, don't be afraid to reform. If you have made mistakes, do not be afraid to correct them. Otherwise, your offense will always be with you. However, if you can change your habits and faults, they will disappear. So this one is also a reflection of why the Mahayana, they emphasize a lot on repentance. So when it comes to cultivation, initially, most cultivators, before they develop the wisdom and the understanding, you tend to make mistakes. But as long as you are aware that these are wrong action, speech, and thought process, then you can still repent or develop the right effort through wisdom to abandon it and to prevent it from recurring in the future. Asking for forgiveness is very good. Able to recite the repentance is very good. Because when you repent, you change over to a new understanding. You straighten your view. And this is how one progress. Otherwise, it's not easy. Oh, today went all very short. Okay, maybe I explain a bit more. You see, the Buddha, like I said in the early days, if he can really make you enlightened using his spiritual power and honesty, then he will definitely do it because he is all loving, all compassionate. But because he can't. So even in the sutta it's mentioned, he could have taught you the highest teaching, the supreme vehicle teaching. But then, living beings who are so deluded, so oblivious of what is going on, they will not pay attention. Even they pay attention, they cannot understand. That's why they have to develop skillful means. So initially, these skillful means are very useful, very important, because as I develop the understanding when I came out to share 20 odd years ago, I also discovered the same thing. You teach them all the direct Dhamma or teaching that you have realized, they cannot understand you. You have to accord and flow with the situation and condition them. Because the popularly accepted teachings are that type of teaching at that time. That's why after coming out to teach for almost half a year, I think, then I realized how come living beings or the Kalyamita that came, they are not like me. Like me, what I need is the truth. The moment I hear truth, I develop the understanding. Then I only need people to tell me a few things about the mind. What is this mind? Until I met my first Theravada teacher, Ajayantra. He let me know about mind. Then I start to understand. Well, initially it was not easy. But nobody can tell me that living being has two minds at that time. So most people are only familiar with the mundane mind. They are not familiar with the other pure awareness nature within, which is our true mind. That's why it's very difficult for people to penetrate. Then if you teach this type of teaching, everybody run away at that time. Well, nobody thought that way. And nobody dare to even differ from the book or the popularly accepted teachings. So because of that, I have to reverse my teaching. I go back to all the basic essential Dhamma. Because if basic essential Dhamma and skillful means also, they haven't have the ability to develop it, to progress, until they realize the sainthood way. It's very difficult to teach them any teaching that is more complicated or the higher wisdom. That's why the world is the world. Condition like that, things will learn it. So without the initial sainthood way teaching, living being will not develop their interest. And the other thing is also, if they don't encounter suffering, I can tell you, most of you will not have the interest or time to seek Dhamma or seek religious understanding. So most people go for religion and Dhamma after they encounter problem. But there are some from the past, they will search on their own very early. They don't have to go through suffering. Like what happened to me. I was having a good life actually at that time. Relatively comfortable, good life. I don't have problem. But then, my nature search. I like to look up at the sky, the open sky with the star system, and be a science student. That's why after Form 4, Form 5. In fact, during the lower secondary, we have history and geography, of course, arithmetic and all those things. I like maths. Then I like geography. I don't like history. The moment I study geography, I understand a lot of things. My that teacher that taught us geography in Form 1, Form 2, and Form 3 was very good. She actually completed her Form 6. Their Form 6 geography is very much more complete and advanced. So when she taught us, she's a lady, also Tio, Miss Tio. She was very good. She taught us Form 4, Form 5 geography. A lot of things that I find it very interesting. Then later on, Form 4, when I encounter science, I start to understand the solar system, the universe, the sun and all things. Then my nature start to probe. I start to question, who am I? What am I? How come I'm here? What am I doing here? One of the 6 billion at that time in this planet Earth. Very insignificant. And yet the planet is only one of the third planet from this sun. And our sun is only one of the minute star system that I can see on the sky. That's why that question, that investigative query, it just arises. Then deep inside from the nature, pop, the answer came out. You have to meditate to understand. I got no doubt straight away, although I don't know what meditation is. That's why that probe was very unique. I don't go through suffering. I don't have problem in life. That time I was only Form 4, Form 5 in 1971. That's why after that, the rest is history. Everything falls into place. If you have the understanding, you will know. Take care of karma. Karma take care of your life. Your whole birth and death, segmented birth and death journey is very, very closely knitted to your spiritual nature and karmic nature. You must develop them. Otherwise, whenever you come, you will suffer. Okay, we continue a bit more. The sutta continued. Sariputta, in spite of his strong body and arm, the elders did not use his strength. Instead, he earnestly used skillful means to rescue his children from the disasters of the burning house. Afterwards, he gave each a great cart adorned with all the precious treasure, like to lure them out. The Tathagata's wisdom is difficult to comprehend. Therefore, the Buddha uses the provisional for the sake of the ultimate and set for expedient the models for the sake of ultimate wisdom, which is the supreme vehicle teaching. Among the Savaka, or the sound hearer, Sariputta was foremost in wisdom. However, among the Bodhisattva, he did not rank first. Manjusri Bodhisattva was foremost in wisdom among the Bodhisattvas. The Buddha then continued, Sariputta, in spite of his strong body and arm, the elders did not use his strength. The elders' strong body and arm are a metaphor for the Buddha's spiritual power, which was infinite and wondrously useful. Although the Buddha could have used both spiritual power and ultimate wisdom to teach and guide living beings, he did not use them. Consider why he held back. Was the Buddha too stingy to use them? Was he afraid he would use them up? No. Instead, he earnestly used skillful means, commentaries. Instead of using his spiritual power and ultimate wisdom, the Buddha diligently and tirelessly employed expedient dhammado, using the provisional for the sake of the ultimate. So here, provisional means the sainthood way teaching. In order to prepare beings for the Buddha vehicle or supreme vehicle, he first teach them the Dhamma of the three vehicle. The vehicle of the Savaka or sound hearer, the vehicle of the Paccheka Buddhas, and the Bodhisattvas. So these are the three vehicle before accumulating to realize Sammasambuddhahood. So the elder used skillful means to rescue his children from the disaster of the burning house first. The Buddha uses clever expedient dhammado to save living beings. Children includes the 33 children who represent the three vehicles of Savaka, Paccheka, and Bodhisattvas, as well as the 500 others who represent living beings of the five destiny. The 500 are ordinary beings, while the 30 children are Buddha's children, namely his true children and his inner children. There is a note 19 down there. Elsewhere, the Venerable Master explained that true children refer to Bodhisattvas, inner and immediate children refer to Arahats, and outer or collateral children to all living beings. Back. Okay. The Buddha rescued all living beings, telling them the tree rind hold no peace. They are like a burning house. This is a very good analogy. The tree rinds. There is no real peace. Means there is suffering. Because this is samsara. And it's really like a burning house. Everywhere you are not careful, you can be burned and tormented. He might have said the burning house is dangerous. If you do not know the way to escape, you will be burned to death. That would be a disaster. What kind of fire will burn you? The fire of the three poisons. Greed, hatred, and delusion. Or the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. The rhyme of desire, the rhyme of form, and the rhyme of the formless are the burning house. Being burned by the three evil roots and three poison of greed, hatred, and delusion is incredibly dangerous. Afterwards, he gave each a great card adorned with precious treasure. Commentary. The elder persuaded the children to come out by saying that there are sheep cart, deer cart, and ox cart outside the door. Eventually, he gave them each a great white oxen cart. The great white oxen cart were decorated with Myrite's precious unique treasure. This is analogous to the great vehicle being adorned by the six perfection of paramitas and the Myrite practices. The great vehicle is not the Buddha vehicle, but the one and only Buddha supreme vehicle. It's not the Bodhisattva vehicle, but the one and only supreme Buddha vehicle. There is no other vehicles. So the great vehicle or supreme Buddha vehicle is said to be like a great cart adorned with precious treasure. Why didn't Sakyamuni Buddha say that there was a great jewel card right from the start? Why did he say that there are three kinds of cards? Because the children might not have understood the concept of a great jewel card. He said that there were sheep card, deer card, and ox card. There are small and big cards. But children like little things. If he had talked about great card, they might have gotten scared and not want them. Likewise, if you don't mention the Savaka and Pachika vehicles, but start right out talking about the Buddha Supreme Vehicle, people often give rise to fear. When you tell them the truth, they might think, how could that be? How could we possibly become Buddha? And I think this is really true. Yeah, that's why, in fact, in the early days, I was told new people, you ask them to take the Bodhisattva vow, they panic, they worry. They say, this one not for me. Then they scared they cannot become Arahant and all those things. That's why all this, these are real fear where living beings who don't have the provisional teaching, some even have the provisional teaching, don't believe, where they saw samsara full of suffering. They say, oh, I want to get the sinhood way and finish off with it. Not knowing that the very craving is the one that prevents them from realizing the sinhood way. Because there is still the concept of a self behind all the enlightenment. So all these are not easy to understand. Okay, then I read on. When you tell them the truth, they may think, how could that be? How could we possibly become Buddha? They hold back. Not only do they fail to go forward, they retreat. That is why the Buddha used skillful means to coax his children like a babysitter who knows how to speak the language children can understand. If children do not understand what you are saying, you will not be able to take care of them very well. The Buddha knew that living beings did not have much wisdom. Therefore, he began his teaching with the lesser vehicle dhamma, that of the Savaka vehicle or sound hearer. He waited until the Dhamma flower assembly to reveal the entirety of the Buddha Dhamma to living beings. When he told them that they could all become Buddhas, he gave them the gift of the great cup adorned with precious treasure. Okay, we can stop here. Almost 9:42. Okay, so I was told by Sui, good news. The wireless mic, just now they tried to fix it. In fact, before the class started, they tried, no way. Then they tried again, no way. But before the Q&A, suddenly it's a fixer. So I think that's beautiful. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we open up for second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have, you can ask. Yeah.
Hello, good evening, Brother Teo.
Yes.
Mrs. Teo, good evening, and all Kalamita. I want to share the last experience.
Ah, 可以啊.
最后一天的早上，其实我在retreat 的时候，我是跟我是讲，明天我不要起来了，我要睡觉。然后到四点，大概四点十五分还是四点半，然后那个文殊菩萨的 mantra 就在那边。哇，沙都。然后那天我就说OK，然后我就知道哦 ，Mrs. Still 四点半就起来 get ready，然后 after that 苏也起来了，我说OK。他们全部去餐厅那边。对，所以每个人就去，我也是很发喜。然后我就去，then after that。 我唱到 certain part 差不多towards the ending 那边，然后我的心里面就哇 click 了一下这样子，哇，好像本来就想噔一下吧，没有声音，然后现在全部停掉，我不能讲话，Mr. Bradio，哇，very
good，就
like you know you can't speak，you can't，yeah，everything like
全部静下来，suddenly still.
So after that, 我就知道了. After that, 我就过了一下子, 我就slowly把我的书放下来, 就这样停罢了.
对, yeah, silent.
Then after that, 其实我也没有, 我try to recall, then after that, 就到底我当下是怎样的去, you know, 到底我看得到吗? 看得到, 但是, 你就是停在那边，你不能讲话。对对对，嗯。 Then after that 就下山的时候就吐吐吐 ，then after that 我就去吃饭，吃了饭，然后呢当下又是不想讲话了，然后 就整个这边哇很爱睡，然后就睡觉。叫你去美地店。对对对，就叫我去美地店。然后 after that 1 hour later when say toilet break。 我又去 toilet， 然后其实我是不想出来，然后我去 toilet， 然后回来，因为睡安
urgency，
对，所以我就 OK 了，我也去吧，然后回来又再睡，就好像刚才我一跟那个地藏王菩萨一挂的话，我就不能了，他们问我是爱睡吗？不是，要躺下去，就是这样子。 所以其实当然我听到别人就在讲，很多东西我也听得到，但是有一段是已经完全听不到。不要听，用心听。是的，是的。所以
that vibration will go in on. Because when I share, especially here, the Tuesday class, here the energy different. Here I've been using it for very long. I bought this place in 1987, this house number 8, then 2008, this house number 10. So now these two houses combined. But the order is after 2008, only all the good friends come. and all these good friends, apart from the Pusian, which I bought for my wife, the rest are come by itself. So a lot of things you can never understand. Meant to be, will be. All the Rupang at the back there, the two big Kuan Yin, the Sakyamuni Buddha, Maitreya, Amitabha, then Tizang Wang Pusa, and even the Yao Su Fo, the thing, they all arrive on their own. Then of course a lot of Kayamita, they also put their images here, then they bring it back. Because here we hold our classes. Last time is Sunday class, Tuesday class, then Thursday class is Padmasri there. When people do their meditation here, pay their respect and listen to Dhamma, the wisdom energy, they can be retained. Because you need crystal, you need certain type of crystal to retain that wisdom energy. And because of that, when you are here, you have the faith, you're silent. The energy is very strong. And also the nature's energy, they are all around. That's why for those who know how to cultivate, when you come here, you silent your mind, you go in very fast. Like today, I think a lot of your sense, the nature's energy very different. But the moment I started the class, I sense it really very strong. Then when we have our half an hour, that half an hour was very tranquil, very still. Immediately, your mundane thinking mind can become like very conducively settled down. And you feel like you can meditate so much easier. Yani, continue.
Yeah, Brother, 我也不知道，我好像什么都没做，就是把那个花挂在地上菩萨那边，然后我就开始一直yawn，一直流眼泪，一直yawn，一直yawn，哇，不能，我就说我去那边，对，then你开走，对。
Then 他们来，他们不懂了。哦，他说你受呆了。Then later meditation， 你跑去那边又躺到 still，very quiet。 好啊, continue.
是的，Brother，哎呦。 其实我真的非常感恩，尤其是这次的 retreat 让我学习很多东西。嗯，对。This
retreat is very special, very unique, because I predicted and told a lot of Kahimita. This retreat will be very different. The Kahimita force is very strong, and it's really moving. And those who have the faith, especially new people and affinity. You all will benefit, you all will progress, and you continue diligently with the cultivation, you will move very fast, and your mind will stabilize. Once your inner awareness stabilizes, you will understand many things on your own. Then all my sharing become like very clear to you, very easy to follow, but there are still work to do. But don't worry, you will develop the understanding, the joy, then you will have the sadha develop until very strong. Then when you finally develop the clear understanding, you really thank all the great beings, then thank your good karma for having the causes and conditions and affinity with all these great beings, especially for Pusa. Because this is how cultivation actually progresses. They are your greatest of all Kayamitas. So Kayamitas is 100% of the holy life. And who are the real, true, greatest Kayamita? The Buddhas and the great beings. That's why without them, very difficult to progress, to develop the understanding and to move fast. But with their assistance, they cannot help you by giving you wisdom, by giving you understanding, no. But they can help you in many other ways, through their vows, through their chanting or whatever. Then their nature can condition you to meditate with their vibration around, with their nature's pure energy around. That's why when you listen to Dhamma from great beings, cultivate all the way, if you have the faith, you will draw and you will progress and you will develop a lot of clear understanding. 很好.
Yeah, Brother, 昨天吧，昨天我在那边, after 我 shower, 我出来然后在吹头的时候, 然后他的 understand 就出来了，那个就是他说，对他的 understanding 是说，那个一根还原哈，六根就解脱了，因为他就是这样 understanding。
Yeah, it's the mind. When you free the mind, all the other six senses are all connected. That's why that is the what they call common denominator. Because every of the sense door consciousness, for them to manifest, you need the mind, which is the common denominator. And that is your sixth consciousness. They call it the perception aggregate. Every of these sense bases, you need the mind to perceive, to bring in the external sense data into your mind. And once the mind have the external sense data, the form and mind manifests as thought, as aggregates of mind. And this is how you manifest when you penetrate that common denominator, you penetrate all. That's what Alicia came to realize, which is very beautiful. Because under the Theravada tradition, they also have this sharing by Ajahn Chah. Ajahn Chah like that, you call it, I don't know what you call it, it's a story of a monk, I think, Tuju Potola. You heard of that? Because this monk, I think, they find him like very skill, and the way they want to learn meditation, they go and see him. Then he told what they call monk who requested for the cultivation. He said, you got six holes, yeah, where from every direction, yeah, that I don't know what was the insight, can go in, is it? How do you develop the ability, yeah, to actually make sure that you are ever mindful of where he go and what he do? So finally, they cannot get an answer. But then he said, very easy. You close the five hole and look at one. He has to go through there. Because that is the common denominator, the mind. You look at the mind, whichever sense door it arises, no problem. And from there, a lot of monk progress. That's why my teacher say, body is just a body, mind is mind. Mind never the body, body never the mind. But mind is most important. That's why we choose take care of mind. When you take care of mind, you take care of the form of mind, the manifestation from there. So all these are the understanding that can be developed. Yeah, it's in the theoretical teaching also. Mm. 很好啊, 沙丘。
Yeah, 是的, but you actually, 这个 answer, 其实你特地去找, 你是找不到的。 但是你在, 就是, 它就是现出来,
yeah, 它从你的 inner nature, when the time come, it will move and it will trigger on. Because when you have the mindfulness and awareness developed and stabilized, the Dhamma keep on arising on in the midst of life and existence. Truth is everywhere in the midst of life and existence. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. That's why keep on arising. Everything you encounter within your six sense door, within life itself, existence itself, they are your greatest teacher. They can teach you. They can awaken you. That's why sometimes for no reason. I remember in the early days, my second last teacher, he was trying to train the Singaporean, that KC Un, I think. He asked her, she asked him to see. He said, look. And she moved her hand. And just like that. I was standing at the side. My nature awakened to it. All phenomena. He still don't know what is going on. He's still using his mundane mind to see. I was using my true mind. Observe. Then he said, arise already. Cease already. From just the hand movement like that, my nature awakened, and I penetrate the three universal characteristics, all phenomena. Because that movement is the best. Because I was fully aware. Then I saw. Before this one come out, there was no phenomena. But the moment the phenomena move and stay, then this one like arise already. Then when this one move again, it cease already. Which means the whole of the universal characteristic is inherent in all phenomena, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena. Every movement is like that. That's why from one, you penetrate all. Very good, sadhu.
Yeah, 是的，所以 我非常感恩，所以我也不懂，怎么说，就是要继续精进，要去精进，去修，修那个正念
，stabilize it， 嗯，啥都，let us
rejoice。所以感恩大家，所以我们一起加油，感恩 brother
Dio，感恩所有佛菩萨，阿弥陀佛，阿弥陀佛，啥都，啥都，啥都，very good。
Good reading, Brother Dio. Yeah. This is Dio and all Kayanamitas.
Yeah.
I have one question.
Okay.
Of course, the basic questions. I want to ask Brother Dio about contemplation. Actually, I'm not very clear how to do contemplation.
Okay.
So, normally, I will reflect when I contemplate. I only contemplate anicca, anatta, dukkha. So not much essential dhamma that I can contemplate. And actually, why we need to contemplate? Reflect something, contemplate, and then finally to let go?
No. I explain to you.
Thank you.
If you got any further question, you can ask. Do you have this book? I'll give it to you. There is one email inside there that explain about the second turning wisdom. You go back and read, you will understand. This one is the early days before we print book. We using this A4 paper and we staple, then we share. That time, a lot of people wrote to me through the email. Then I answer them. This was compiled from all the email from Buddhist society and Buddhist community all over the world. They wrote to me. Then sometimes I join their session, the discussion. Then the book come about. Then Kayamita find it very useful. He said, "Brother, today why not you compile all the beautiful emails so that other people can also benefit?" So maybe at the retreat, you are new because first time. So now you listen again. You see, the purpose of the second turning is to stabilize all of the teaching that the Buddha has proclaimed under the first turning wisdom. Means like first noble truth. He proclaimed there is a noble truth of dukkha. And what is dukkha? When one confront life, you will confront the eight realities of life and existence if you live long enough. And when you confront them without wisdom, without the Dhamma understanding, suffering will follow you. So that is the contemplation. Why did the Buddha say, this eight reality, if I don't have the Dhamma, when I confront them, I will suffer? Then you start with the first four. Birth, old age, sickness and death. Why did the Buddha say, birth, old age, sickness and death? You can do one by one. But for simplicity, to save time, I will use all the four first. Why did he say birth is suffering? Is birth really suffering? So contemplate means you throw it out now for inquiry. Why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Then you reflect on the birth process. Understand? You don't go and think. You just reflect. Try to recollect to memory what is birth like. For you as a mother, easier. You give birth before, how many? Oh, that's very easy to understand. Where you go through all the early period of, you call it what, conceiving. Then the 8 to 9 or later on 10 months if it's full maturity and birth. So as you go through, you reflect, you recollect. Then you will come to know, after you conceive, the first month especially, the vomiting and the, what they call starting of the process of being pregnant, how that conception takes place and how it changes you. Then the vomiting, the initial one, can be quite troublesome. Then later on, as the pregnancy takes its course, your bodily movement is like no longer like before. You need to be very careful. You have to like avoid misstep or sleepy area. So a lot of things that comes with birth actually can lead to suffering and misery. Then the birth process itself, if it's not a what we call a normal birth, if let's say there are complications or what, then you can see the anxiety, the fear, the worry, and all those things. Then there are risks involved with birth. And sometimes they need to do some operation or whatever, especially the birth that is not normal, where there is breach and all those things. But now more safe in the sense that medical science has progressed, and the doctors, they are very good. Especially if you have twin or what, even more complication. They have to monitor you and all those things. Then when things take its course, when the birth is normal, smooth sailing, of course there is joy, there is happiness. Everybody looking forward to become the parents. The grandparent looking forward to become grandparent. Then all the related loved ones look forward to the newborn baby, the birth and all those things, the new moon day. Not new moon, 1 month you call it, mua gui. In English, is there a word? Full moon, man, yeah. Then the grandparents and the relatives, it's a Chinese tradition to come and actually wish you and also offer ang pao and all those things. But when there is complication, when things don't go the way that it's supposed to be, then you can see the suffering that is inflicted. Then when it affects the parents, not only the mother, the husband, the in-laws, and all those that have relationship with them. So as you reflect, you recollect, then at certain point, when it hit you, then you know, oh, no wonder the Buddha say, birth is suffering. The other understanding is, you will reach a point of recollection and what we call contemplation, where you know, with birth comes the whole mess of suffering. Where everything starts with birth. When there is birth, there will be old age, sickness and death. There will be reality manifested by the first noble truth, like separation from love on everything. So all this will take its course. Then you realize birth is really suffering. Then as you contemplate, old age, same. As you grow old, or you witness your parent, your grandparent, or your neighbor, or whoever you may have acquaintance with, going through the age process, aging process, they call it getting old. Then the traumatic disease that come with getting old, the sickness, sometimes the injury, when you are old, you are very susceptible to fall. When you fall, it can be very, very severe, not like when you are young. Then your senses, your organs all start to fail you. Then the most fearful one is dementia. You cannot remember even your own loved ones. And a lot of other type of associated disease. Then as you contemplate, you stabilize all this. Then you witness people going through disease and sickness and injury. It can be very traumatic, especially stroke patients, people with heart attack. Then people with those traumatic disease, like HIV. And also a lot of nowadays very chronic type of disease, even COVID at that time. The initial stage when it erupted, not easy, a lot of people just died like that. So all this, as you reflect, contemplate, you develop deeper understanding. So second turning wisdom is you contemplate not to let go. You contemplate to understand this process. So when you understand means what? You would have stabilized all those that you have learned through the first turning. Well, initially the first turning, you heard of it, but you are not clear about it. Like you go to school, let's say new subject, science, maths or physics, you haven't heard before. Then you listen, like you hardly understand. Maybe you have some idea of it. But to stabilize your understanding, you have to go back and reflect on it, contemplate on it. We have textbook, you read over it, then you try to digest it, understand. So what the Buddha's intent is, when you reflect, contemplate, yeah, and inquire, means you throw it out, then you inquire and you reflect, you recollect to memory what this thing is. By doing so, you stabilize all this, understand? When you stabilize, then you can take it in, assimilate it in, into your nature. But this understanding, as you reflect and contemplate, is stabilized. Means you are no longer gullible like a normal person. Yeah. When people talk about birth, old age, and then, I say, don't come and talk to me about this. I'm not interested. I say, well, they are too young. They don't see the urgency, the importance, the significance. But when you reflect and contemplate, then you develop the clear understanding so that before you confront them in future, you already have the understanding. Especially the first five daily contemplation to counter the first noble truth reality. Means this body of ours, if of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for it has not gone beyond old age, sickness and death. You can add in injury and all those things. For it goes the way of nature. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. It's not you. So when you reflect, you contemplate, you stabilize that, so that in future when you experience or confront old age, sickness and death, you are prepared, understand? And you tell yourself, this is a noble truth. Not only you experience it when the time comes and have to confront it. Each and every living being throughout existence, they also subject to this truth, this reality. Means not only you have to confront birth, old age, sickness and death. The whole of mankind, humanity, you have to confront. So when you understand that this is a common reality, then why do you grieve over it? You only have to develop the understanding and develop the ability to transcend this reality. Means accept. Because like the Buddha say, our physical body make our element, no knowing, not a permanent, and yet cannot be you. So this one goes the way of nature. If it's not me, I don't have to worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. But when condition is like that, things will be like that as well. That is the reality. Where I didn't take care of my body. Maybe health-wise, I didn't take care. I abused it, I neglected it, I got not enough proper rest. Or maybe nourishment and all those things. So if you don't do the necessary, it's just like a car. You don't maintain it well. It tends to give problem, understand? When the time comes, if you have maintained it well, taken care of it, then wear and tear will be less. Then it will be safer. Then it will serve you well. The body is the same. So this is the understanding behind. So when you understand, you don't have to suffer. You can accept that reality. But people who don't understand this, never contemplate, never reflect, and never inquire, then whenever they are afflicted, they become miserable. They fear death. They think this is real, this is their body. They worry about it getting old, getting sick and dying. They worry about the medical cause, all this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation a mind state that the deluded one project, where you don't have the Dhamma, understand? Why must you worry? Always tell yourself, the mundane mind worry, not you. Your nature don't worry, understand? But because you cannot understand, you think the mundane mind is you. So all this fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, they cannot help you, understand? No amount of fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation can help you resolve that problem. To resolve that problem, you must have a clear mind. That's why when you accept them, understanding that these are nature's condition, these are the reality. Like the Buddha said, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. So when you understand the law of karma, when you understand the way things are, you will know. If you don't take care, it will have more tendency to go that way. But if you have taken care, you have the Dhamma understanding, then it will serve you well. Then you have less issue, less problem. Where you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. So all this understanding, you see them clearly. So when you see them, this reflection, contemplation, inquiry, which is the second turning, become very useful. Like the Buddha said under the third noble truth, suffering need not be. Everybody is subject to the same reality. You are not the only one in the world that experiences birth, old age, sickness and death. Everybody, if they live long enough, they have to experience it. And if you don't have the Dhamma understanding, you suffer. If you have the Dhamma understanding, then you will know. Birth, old age, sickness and death pertain to the physical form, not me and the self. Like the Buddha said, when your body is sick, do not allow your mind also to be sick. Where this unnatural condition, the tactile consciousness will manifest. Like when there is something not right, it's the body's way of telling you that something is wrong, understand or not? So from that sign, you must see the danger and the urgency. Then go and seek help, understand or not? Need to consult doctor, consult, need to find cure. Fine. And the best is to seek advice from people who has the understanding to recover from all this. So all these are the practical Dhamma way through Dhamma understanding. When you accept, then you have clarity of mind. You don't blame yourself. You don't blame others. You don't blame your parents for last time when you were young, never give you the growth hormone, the vitamin and all those things, and then you say, I'm sick because of that. No, a lot is coming. Where you don't do your duty, you neglect your duty. In the past, you must have neglected your children. That's why this life, you have parents that will neglect you. You reap what you sow. And you cannot blame others. And when you do not have the wrong view to blame and point finger, sometimes blame yourself. How come you are so stupid? Why your life is so miserable? Why me? And all these are what the thought telling you. These are not the reality. The reality is happen already. Understand? So if you want to move forward, tell yourself, I have to accept this reality that I contemplate and reflect. What are my options? How can I move forward? How can I develop the cure? And then you start the process. Right view, leading to right thought, all those things. And need to ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness, following the chanting book. Understand? Then after that, vow not to repeat all this, which are with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then once you resolve your karmic obstruction already, then you vow to follow the advice of the Buddha to cultivate. But as Kayamita, we already started the cultivation. Understand? You don't have to wait till God. First noble truth reality hit you, only you go and cultivate, no need. Then immediately you can invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for you to recover from that disease or sickness. Yeah. Then you can actually go to the third condition. First is ask for forgiveness, then second is, First, you ask for forgiveness. Then second is vow not to repeat all this. Yeah? Then vow to follow the advice of the Buddha to cultivate which you have. Then when you cultivate long enough, you have enough wholesomeness of merits born of cultivation, born of avoiding all evil, do good and purifying the mind. You can invoke power of merits. Then you can use that format in the chanting book and design it to suit your own condition by the power of whatever merits that this nature of mind have cultivated since knowing the teaching, the Buddha Dhamma. May it arise a causes and condition for me to recover the good health, to stable my state so that I can be given a second chance to move on with my life. Yeah, so that I can have mental clarity, good health, and mental condition for me to progress in my cultivation so that I can be a noble being with noble understanding. So all this you can make the aspiration. Then if you want to help your children, your husband, your spouse or whatever, you can also, on their behalf, you also relationship. On behalf of my spouse or my children, you invoke power of merits. Even close friend, relative or whoever, you want to send them blessing, metta, causes and conditions for them to recover to good health or for their operation to be successful so that they can recover or recuperate as soon as possible. So all this, you can invoke power of merit, but you must have the merits first. That's why it's good to let Kayamita know. Then we help, we send, everybody send. And a lot of people have recovered. Even last time I remember, Achara Achalo, you all know Achara Achalo? Oh, you don't know, new people don't know. He got affinity with us. He's from Australia. Australian Buddhist monk, but he was offered a way place in Thailand, I think somewhere towards northwest. His way place is called Anandagiri Hermitage. So when he was offered that place, we came to know him actually. Then I took a spiritual trip there. Then we have affinity. We visited his hermitage. Then we come very close. Then he came over. Then off and on, he also come and gave some Dhamma talk, sometimes retreat. Then also have Dana and all things. But off and on, he went back to Australia to visit his parents. Then sometimes it's the brother and the sister. Then every time they got problem, he will write to us and ask Brother Teo Kalimita to radiate love, metta, and send our pure wish or whatever. And he find it very effective. And even when he plant the new Bohi tree, one big one, they transfer from somewhere and plant. He is scared it may not, it may not grow and survive. So he asked us to radiate. And then the whole Bohi tree really become very healthy. A lot of occasion, then even our Kayamita, a lot of them, last time I remember Chi Wei also said, the wife go through operation, the son have a very severe accident where he was doing serving, very dangerous game. He almost completely paralyzed. But after the thing, then we read it, metta, all, then the son recovered and now healthy, very good. The wife also recovered. So all these are the possibility of what you can do. So now you understand, contemplation, reflection, is not to let go. Nothing to do. Contemplate to stabilize your understanding so that you can assimilate it. Then it becomes unisop manasikara anasa. So next time when you confront birth, always sickness and death, you can accept the reality very easily. Anasa, no more issue already. Then it won't affect you anymore. That one will prompt you spontaneously. So the daily contemplation will come up. Body is just a body. It goes the way of nature. It's not a permanent unchanging and it's not me. Then you straight away no more problem. So it's of the nature to grow old, get sick and finally die. As long as I had the Dhamma, I take care of Dhamma. Dhamma will take care of my life. Then everything will fall into place. Okay?
Okay, thank you, brother, for the explanation.
So, whatever you want to contemplate, you can. Not necessarily only the Buddha's essential Dhamma or all the Four Noble Truths. But that one is something you must contemplate to stabilize your second turning wisdom, which is Chintamaya Panya. But you can also contemplate on the Kongan and the Sai Chai Nian for who is chanting the Buddha's name. So that inquiry also you can throw it out. Then the contemplation that I give to you all, when you are able to stabilize your inner awareness without thought, who are you? That one also reflect. Don't go and think, no. You just throw it out. Without thought, who are you? Then you're silent. Then let this inner awareness stabilize. Then when you are in that state of awareness without thought, then you try to find out, without thought, who are you? Very beautiful, you will penetrate on. Then you will awaken. And you will know why I say, without thought, you are nothing. Completely nothing. That's why he told you, he know me. There is no mark of self cultivating, no mark of others, no mark of Dhamma, no mark of life. So all these are real contemplation that can be realized. But that mark is created by the mundane mind, the mundane thinking mind. Without that thought, no word, nothing, no concept, no idea, then what can that be? That's why without thought, you are really nothing. You try, cannot get anything out of it. But once the thought come in, whoop, the entity come out. The idea, the knowledge, the memory, all surface already. That's why thought, the Buddha say, but no, mind is the mundane mind. It's a forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When that mind arises, all creation arises, the four circle formation. Anasana. The first to come out is a pure awareness nature. Before that, there was no thought, no form in mind. But the moment thought arises, form in mind arises. The moment form in mind arises, the senses create the phenomenal world of consciousness. Because through your senses, consciousness arises and passes away. The whole lot of phenomenal world, mind make a day, where they are only consciousness, no reality. And the whole universe arises. So when you meditate, you can understand all this. You can see the flow, so beautiful, without words. But before you able to be at the pure awareness, you cannot understand, you keep on using your thought. And the thought, which is thought-based and knowledge-based, cannot understand the Dhamma, which is beyond thought, beyond time. Okay? Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, with all the good sharing. Okay, we have to end already. 10:33. No alarm, God, you didn't on your phone, You think down, Tai xiao sheng, Okay, don't worry, Let us now share merits, Starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Ittawata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anamodantu Sabasampati Siddhya Idang me nyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatina hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Devo asatu kalena sampati hito cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyam kamena mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you.